We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
Well, Sue Costello is here. Good morning. Happy Friday.
Good morning, everybody. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi. What are Happy you doing? Super Bowl, first of all, congratulations.
Oh, I know. Well, you weren't there, were you?
No, I was in New York. You know who I was watching it with?
Who?
The whole crew from City on the Hill.
Oh, that show looks extraordinary.
How cool is that?
Nice.
Is that not a Boston moment? And it was. We were at Jimmy Cummings' hotel room. So Jimmy Cummings was the guy who did Southie.
The show, I've seen the trailer, looks extraordinary.
They were.
It looks really good. And that is produced by Damon and Affleck,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, Chuck. Chuck is the creator, and I met him, and he's
Chuck, what, Lorre?
No,
is that
Chuck,
his name?
No, he's, why can't I think of his last name? He's like 32 years old. He's like a young kid from Boston. He's from Quincy.
Yeah. Okay, probably Sullivan.
No, it's not Sullivan, but he was hilarious.
Fitzy?
I mean, we were watching the
nickname
was like,
Fitzy?
His name was Fitzy, yeah, probably.
Yeah, no, that show looks good. But what a win. I mean, all we do is win championships in this city. You remember a time, as I do, when we never won anything.
Yes, I do. And it's funny to watch. I was at a yoga class, and the yoga teacher was talking about how mad he was.
Oh,
I was
really?
Like, yo, TB12.
Yeah.
Do the TB12. You'll be happy.
What do you do, like the hot yoga or the...
No,
the,
I do vinyasa. I do hot every once in a while to squeeze it out.
Yeah. What? That doesn't sound appropriate.
I feel like when you do hot yoga, it squeezes all the tension out of your body and all the toxins.
How does it? This will shock everyone, but I've never done a yoga class.
What?
We should do that one day and have it filmed.
We should. Yeah. Now, what do you like? What exactly happens? You get in there. And like, what do you wear? Would I wear my Lululemons for men or what?
You would wear your Lululemons for men, yes.
Okay.
I've seen those on Instagram. They're hot. They make your bum look good. I want to say, nice bum, where are you from?
And there's an instructor in there.
There's an instructor. And sometimes you like them and sometimes you don't. Because sometimes yoga instructors can be aggressive, which is really funny. I want to put that on my TV show, like the aggressive yoga instructor. Because sometimes
it's like the stationary bike people. You're like, I get it. You're in incredible shape. I'm dying right now. Quit yelling at me.
And they're like,
why are you yelling?
So you get in there and you go into one of the, like immediately into one of the positions.
Well, first
like
you have to get through the anxiety of everybody getting their mats and everything, which is funny because it's almost like you need a yoga class after just getting into yoga class and getting through the front desk. Because usually the front desk people can be a little aggressive too. This is in New York. Everybody's aggressive.
Of course.
So then you get your mat and then everybody puts their mat down and then usually there's a couple of people that are late. So you have to get up and move your mats, but yoga is supposed to be like mimic for life. So you're supposed to be able to handle that kind of, you know, agitation. That's what yoga is supposed to teach you because you get agitated on the train or whatever. So you're supposed to be able to be like, oh.
You can't put your mat there.
That's right.
This is where I put my mat.
Yes. And I've been
going to this class for 10 years.
Like at the pool, like if you have a pool, like at your gym or whatever, and people have their seats that they save, like that's the kind of thing too. And then so you have all that, but then you have to just deal with it. And then you sit down and you usually be quiet for a minute and then they usually give a talk and then we chant.
Chant?
Yes.
How does that go?
We chant like Om Namah Shivaya Gudave.
Oh, I love Gouda. I like cheddar too.
I'm sorry, is it weird that I have a boner right now?
I like Gouda.
It's cheese yoga.
Oh, Hare Hare Krishna. We do all stuff I used to make fun of when I was younger. Now I'm chanting it.
Now, has it made you? Are you better able to deal with the stress of life because of it?
So my body feels, my energy, everybody. And everybody keeps at, like, so, okay, so I was in New York, there's a show called Sweet. It's like this guy, Seth Herzog, that does the Tonight Show. He does the warm-up for the Tonight Show, and he does the show once a month, and he usually has very successful people on. And I went after my yoga class with my friend because I saw Seth in the class, and he's like, Sue, just come stop by. And it was at this new place, the Chelsea Music Hall. And so I wanted to see the space. See what kind of stand-up they were doing there. And so I was sitting in the audience, and now Janine Garofalo was on and a couple other people, and then Michelle Wolf was supposed to headline. So they all paid for Michelle Wolf to come headline, right? And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I felt a tap on my head, and it was the owner of the club, and he's like, Sue, can you... Michelle Wolf just canceled. Can you go on?
Oh, God.
And I was like, oh. So now I have to go on, not prepared, and they were looking for Michelle Wolf, and they're going to get me.
Right.
And I was like, yes. Yes, I can go.
So you immediately went into downward dog.
I went into downward dog. No, but that kind of like spontaneity and not being afraid and like taking the moment, that came from yoga. And also my physicality, like being open. Like, so I got on stage and my friend was like, Sue, were you nervous? I was so nervous for you. I'm like, yes, I was nervous. But yoga teaches you to be like, okay, I'm nervous. And then go, instead of be like, oh, I'm not nervous or ego or whatever. I'm like, yeah. I'm very in touch with my body. I'm like, I'm very nervous because I understand what I'm going up against right now. And then I went on stage and the guys, it's so funny because we're from Dorchester I'm from Dorchester and mother jokes are always my favorite for me, right? So there was a girl who was so drunk in the audience and the guys, they weren't really handling her. They were kind of making fun of her and she was very, very drunk. And the audience was getting a little uncomfortable with her, and the longer the show went on, the drunker she got. And so she was really talking to me, like, so drunk out of her mind. And her name was Mary Beth. They had already talked to her. And then I said something. I have to do a joke about my mother, how she does her quotes backwards when she's drunk. She gets really
backwards.
Like huffy, and she's like, does her quotes backwards. Her quotes, and she's like, Susan! Yeah. And so I said, my mother likes to drink a little bit. She's from Boston. I go, her name's Marianne. And the audience went mental because that was the drunk girl. And then she's like, so I love you. And I'm like, Mom, you only tell me that when you're drunk. And so I went through this whole thing with her and then after the show, everybody's like, Sue. And it was funny because it was like 3D they saw. So I was funny. I did a great job. But they were also, their brains were like, how did you do that? How were you in the audience and you just jumped on stage and did that and then handled that woman and you made her feel special and you didn't hurt her.
Yeah.
And I was like, a lot of that comes from the yoga, from the practice of yoga, being able to just every day practice being around people and being agitated and choosing a different way.
The closest I've ever gotten to yoga is following Nude Yoga Girl on Instagram, which is an extraordinary account. She's like on the top of the Himalayas doing nude yoga. Very dangerous, but it's extraordinary photography. You ought to follow her.
But she can't show her nipples or anything,
right?
She can blur them or she'll turn away.
It's a weird thing on Instagram. Like, you can show your butt.
Yeah, but no.
Why is that on Instagram? You can show your butt, but you can't show a nipple.
They have really big thing about women's nipples. Like, even, what's his name? Adam Levine on the Super Bowl. He showed his nipples, but...
Yeah. We were talking about that the other day.
I understand it, though. I know it was weird. And I understand people's reaction to it. I get it. Because it's like the ego gets out of control. And then everybody just has such a reaction like, yuck. We don't want to see that kind of ego.
I need to set the record straight. And I almost said this when we were discussing it.
Yes.
It's risky business where a young Tom Cruise is backing the Porsche out of the garage and it stalls.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's right. Not, Ferris Bueller, they don't stall. Spoiler alert. Thing goes through the giant glass window of Ferris Bueller's, Cameron's.
His best
Cameron.
Yeah, Cameron.
House,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, so I stand corrected. What are you in town for?
I'm in town because I'm co-headlining tomorrow night on the Cape at the Seacrest Hotel with Kelly McFarlane.
Yeah.
But I'm also, because I'm headlining Florian Hall again on March 2nd. Nice. That's really why I'm here. Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
That's a great take, too.
It's a great
place.
Now,
the Seacrest Hotel, do they have a hotel bar asking for a BPD friend?
What's a BPD friend?
There's a Boston police officer who, a couple exotic dancers in Rhode Island stole a gun from a Boston police officer at the Hampton Court or the Hampton, what's it called now?
Hampton Inn.
The Hampton Inn, the Hampton Court Inn.
Hampton Court took over from Medieval Manor.
Yes. So, tickets available?
Tickets are available at SueCostello.com. Just go to March 2nd on the dates and you can buy tickets. It's already almost sold out.
And what's the latest with your television show?
So they're extending it. I'm so proud of myself. Yes. I'm so Dorchester.
Yes.
And I don't mean that in an ego way. I mean that in a humble way. I mean, like, I did not go into that mess last year. I was like, I'm not doing it. I already had a show and it already got screwed up and I'm not doing it again. And inside I was like, and that's where the yoga helped me too. Yeah. I was like, no, I'm not doing it. And now looking back, it looks a little bit like maybe I was going to be the answer to the problem that went on last year. They could be like, oh, look, we
have a problem. What do you mean? What problem you mean?
CBS had a horrific problem last year with Les Moonves and all the way they were treating women and the whole thing.
Okay.
And so when it happened, I knew internally, I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. We're not going to have Sue be the person where everybody comes at and be in the middle of all that yucking. I was like, no, no, no. I just worked for 30 years to get my career back. I'm not doing it.
Did you meet with Les Moonves about it? You did?
Yes.
Nice man? Or
he's always been nice to me, and I've never gotten any sexual vibes from him whatsoever.
Really?
Never. He is a vicious businessman, though.
Yeah. Well, I don't
He's also, you know, put his money where his mouth was with my,
Don't say anything about Les Moonves in his mouth,
with
please.
My talent. Yeah. He's always thought I was talented. But also, I don't know. I don't know if, I mean, they've asked me about Louis too. And I'm like, I am very honest. I would just not, I'd be like, stop it.
What did you think? What did you think about those as a comedian? Sue Costello is our guest. What did you think about those who were not impressed with Louis C.K.'s first show with regard to returning to stand up?
I just understand it. I feel like people always underestimate the audience, and that's the one thing that I've always said. Even when I had Costello, I was like, don't underestimate the audience. The audience is not stupid, and they treat them like they're stupid. And the instinctual humanity where people do not want to be messed with. Adam Levine whipping off his shirt is like, people are like, oh, he's a great singer. He didn't need to do all that. That's right. I mean, people are like, please just be great. We don't need that. We don't want to be I don't think anybody wants to be desperate anymore. I think people are sick of it. I think they want to have some sort of dignity.
Do you think he should have come out?
I think
His act should have been about what happened to him.
Yes, it's very complicated because the way they took him down, I understand the rage that he has because I don't know if he needed to be taken down to that extent. It's very complicated, and the way the world is now is very like attack, 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 and take people out, and then to expect a human being to be like, oh, I can handle all that and come back perfectly. So I'm not defending him, but I do, yes, of course, and that's what a comic does. That's what Richard Pryor did. Richard Pryor burnt himself by doing drugs, and then he came back, and that's why everybody loved him, and that's what people love in somebody who goes beyond the norm. They look up to them because they're like, you're doing what I'm afraid to do and you're helping me feel more comfortable being myself and that I'm a mess. And so, yes, anytime anybody says they're sorry, everybody forgives them. And yes, so for him try to sneak in back in that. And it also is like a little hole that he's leaving open. Like he's leaving himself open to be attacked because he's doing that. If he wasn't doing that, he would lift the whole thing. So,
So. And so by not joking about it.
Yes.
He's not being real.
Yes. And that's a hole that's leaving him open to be attacked. And that's what and he's not even being, as a comic, you have to be aware of like, people are like, oh, you can't be funny anymore. It's like, well, part of being a comic is to know your audience. Part of being a comic is to know that everybody's in a lot of pain right now. The country's very divided. People are very scared. So you can't just go, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. People will be like, no, you're not. Like there's the masses that are like, no, we're not going to take that right now. So yes, being vulnerable and open is what makes a comic. I mean, that's why everybody loves Richard Pryor. I mean, George Carlin, the reason why they love George Carlin is because he said what he wanted to say and he stuck to it. There's something about being solid and holding on to yourself. So if Louis, you have to adjust with the times, yes. Otherwise, Louis is going to take himself down. He's not going to get where he wants
to go. Don't say take himself. He did too much of taking himself down.
But also, that was his whole career. So here's my argument, too. His whole career was that, and that's what's making me laugh. It's like, these guys, they all built their careers on this, and then everybody's like, oh, this is horrendous. It's like, oh, stop with your baloney. Like, they were doing that all along, and now all of a sudden you're pretending like, oh, that's awful. No, you'd still do it if we didn't have this issue. You'd still think it was funny.
Now, when will we see your show on CBS?
So it's going to take, we won't do it until next pilot season. But the reason why.
When is the next?
The pilot season is right now.
Okay.
So I skipped this pilot season purposefully.
Okay.
Part of me knew that I was like, because they were in crisis. So I was like, how are you going to make such a great show when you're in crisis?
Right, right.
I was like, I'm not. My show, I already wrote the show. I love my show. My show is all about inclusion. My show is all about everything that I stand for. My show is about second chances. It's about forgiveness. And that being said, it's almost like everybody keeps saying I was like a disruptor. I went into the business and I wanted to do it a different way because I saw that the way they do it. So the way the networks do it is they shoot pilots during January, February, and March.
Yeah. Well, the fronts are the second Tuesday in February, right?
The what?
The fronts?
The upfronts are in April, I think.
April?
So what they do is, so development season starts in the fall, so they start writing the scripts, and then they pick which pilot they're going to put up, and then they shoot all the pilots. But that used to work when there were three networks because everybody was involved with only these networks, so you had the best creative, you had the best everything. That does not exist anymore. So there's something like this, the old ways. So I remember meeting with the girl who does the analytics for Viacom, and she was like, the problem with the networks is that they don't see that the streaming is their main thing. They keep thinking that their network is their main brand. And in my head, I was like, no, the network is their main brand. But the problem is that they're being wishy-washy and not adjusting enough.
Yeah.
So what? So with the Netflix and everything, they're giving the creators a lot more power. They're not owning. They're letting the creators own their own material.
Yeah.
They're giving them a lot of money. They're giving them creative control. They're being able to shoot them at different times.
You don't have to tell me. You should see what it took for them to get me on episode 3 of The Hunt for the Smiley Face Killer on Oxygen.
What did it take?
Oh, let me tell you, we can't talk about it right now.
So anyway, so they shoot these pilots like very quickly, and they don't have any, like, they need, what they need is a multi-camera successful show to go into syndication. That's what they need. That's what I have.
Yeah.
I have that. One of my favorite things is to be in front of the live audience.
Hold on a second. Scott is on the wait a minute.
Oh, not so much.
Was that Scott from Weymouth?
I don't know if it was or not. Hello, Scott.
What's up? Good morning, guys.
No, Shu, why did you say that, Shu?
The
dial tone, I swear to God, I'm like Pavlov's dog when I hear it. I'm like, hung up on again. I'm brutal.
What's up, Scott?
All right, real quick question for all of you.
Yes.
There's this current show I'm watching that I am in love with. Greg, I suggest you should have him on the air. He's a Boston guy. He's from Lexington. His name's Pete Holmes. And the show is called Crashing. Not to promote another show while she's on, but
I
think it's effing the best show I've ever seen. I can't wait for Sunday nights at 10 on HBO. Have you heard of it? And please tell me anything you know about it.
I saw the first couple. Have you watched it?
I watched
the first couple
of
episodes. It's pretty good.
I hate to say this. I agree with
Scott.
Why
do you have to hate it? Why?
Because I hate that guy. But I agree with
Scott,
him there.
The listener.
Yeah. Wait a minute. So that's HBO. So HBO is known to treat the talent amazing and to take care on what they're making. And also it's Judd Apatow. But that being said, it's all guys.
Yeah,
people don't realize what it's like to be a woman in especially the comedy world, and that's what's funny. After I got off stage, but for the Me Too movement and the Time's Up, thank God it happened for me, because when I got off stage last week when I did that Sweet Show, the woman who was taking the pictures came up and she's like, "Sue, I used to watch you on Tough Crowd." She's like, "I can't imagine what it was like for you to be a woman back then." And I'm like, "Oh, so now people are just having a different view of what it's like to be a woman." So yes, Crashing is great, and Louis's great. They're all great, but they all got a very, very easy ride. They got to be able to find the other boys. And I was just saying this last year I got fully acceptance of it. I used to say, when the comics go on the road, if they're in like a Winnebago, like Bobby Kelly and Gary Gulman and all them, they go on the road, or Dane Cook, they're not going to say, "Let's bring a girl." They're just not. If they're in a Winnebago.
Well, why wouldn't they?
Because it's going to be gross and dirty, and they want to be able to be themselves.
Locker room talk, Greg.
Locker room talk. Girls can be gross.
You can't, scratch your nuts.
But part of me understands that. And so last year, what I did was I was like, I am not going to be a victim. I'm not going to be a victim. How do I go around this? How do I completely accept this? So that being said, when I pitched to CBS, I pitched a whole vision of how to do it without doing this crazy like pilot season thing. But they were also in crisis. The less stuff was going on behind the scenes. They knew I had the product that they wanted. They're used to like just taking all the control. And so I did it completely different. So I'm like a disruptor. So I don't even have anger towards them. I'm like, I understand that what I did. So what I'm getting to is that maybe it'll happen differently this time, because I reset the whole way of doing things. Because now they're going to get the script, and we're going to take our time, and we're going to make a show that's really... And I also had to show them, like, it doesn't... Everybody's so afraid right now. And I'm like, well, how about if I just stop being afraid? And I go, let's try some... I was saying to Danielle, like, okay, you guys can all do that, but I'm going to do this, and I'm just going to do this.
Yeah.
And maybe everybody will want to look at some of this.
Well, I can't wait to see it. But we're going to have to wait till 2020.
Yes, but I'm also doing the play. I'm doing the play in New York, so that's going to be shot as a special, and they're talking to Fallon about me doing stand-up on the... I've never done a TV set. I've never done a special, so all that's probably going to happen beforehand. But I do want to say one thing before about Faneuil Hall. I want to find an interpreter for the deaf. So I'm putting the word out here, because I want to find... I'm going to start doing that at my shows.
Because
I feel like people don't get to come out. There's no comedy where people who can't hear get to go and see. And somebody suggested, they're like, "Sue, get an interpreter." I'm like, I'm going to try that at Faneuil Hall. At Florian Hall. So if there's anybody out there that can help guide me with that, that's my first step in inclusion. I want to start including people where we have no vision. Like, we don't even know. Nobody even thinks of that.
You should get the one that was... who was that person doing the interpreting for that was very expressive with her? It was really funny. Huh?
Was it during a Duvall thing?
Yes, it was for Duvall Patrick. Yes.
Was it during like a FEMA thing or something? Maybe
that's part of it, too. Very, like, very animated.
Animated movements.
Yeah. Right, and people would be nervous. I can see why a lot of comics would be, but I could handle, like, that's, I mean, that's what
why
I
Why don't you get
on.
LB to do it for your shows?
LB, you know how to do LB sign could, language? Could,
I will learn. If you want me to, I promise you, a year from now, I will be able to do sign language.
Oh, my God.
I will do that for you in 2 seconds.
I believe that LV would do that for me.
Honestly, that's a whole new thing. Like, you could do stand-up for the deaf, and if you did it without the interpreter, you probably wouldn't get too many laughs.
Can I tell you? Can I say that I love you?
Oh, I love you, too.
You have to watch me.
Oh.
Aww.
Oh, see, there you go. LB's doing us.
Meanwhile, he just did the sign for cheeseburger.
But also, I brought you guys pins, too, because I'm starting to do the whole brand, the whole I Am Sue Costello brand.
Oh, look at that.
So my eyes are going to be the...
It looks like some kind of a weird cat staring at me.
But
like
those
weird,
are my eyes. My eyes are kind of like cat eyes.
You have cat eyes.
Yeah, and then so the windows to the soul. There's a whole... There's a whole shebang I'm doing. A whole, like... I don't know. It might even turn into, like, a little bit of a movement. It's going to be inclusion.
Now, you're not doing, like, an altar and crystals, like Giselle Bundchen or something like that, are you?
Altar and crystals.
Are you into the crystals, or?
I have crystals, yeah.
You do? You have crystals?
Yeah.
Danielle's a healer. I don't know if you know that or not.
I'm a level one pranic healer.
She's a level one pranic healer.
I feel like people have a lot more inside of them than they allow, and I'm going to try to blow.
What do you mean everyone's a healer?
That's you can heal people. Like, there's even the idea. So say somebody's sick in the family.
Yeah.
A lot of times people bring anxiety to the sick person because they're anxious. And nobody has even ever known, like, how do you not do that? But the idea is try to calm yourself down so when you go to the person who's sick in the family, then you can be more loving, which brings me to, I also have to give my brother a shout out. It's his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
My brother, Jimmy Costello, it's his birthday. And he's been struggling a little bit with some health problems. So I want to make sure that everybody sends him some good energy.
What's up, Jimbo?
So, yes. Yesterday during the show, I had a near fatal cramp in my leg. Are you saying that it was the anxiety of the other people in the room that directed at me that caused that?
No, I'm saying that happens, so say you have a cramp and we don't know what's going on. Say we're afraid it's a heart attack. If I start going, "Oh my God, are you having a heart attack?"
That's what everybody did.
Oh my God!
That's what everybody did, and it got worse.
Yes, that is.
Thanks for nothing.
Tough.
Where was the pranic
healer? But now everybody knows because I said it. Maybe you can pause and go, "Wait a minute, let's not bring the anxiety. Let's go, Greg. What's going on?" But
right.
it's hard to do.
And meanwhile, Greg's going, "You can't really verbalize it.
It was painful.
It was that painful.
Oh my Lord, worst cramp I've ever had in my life. And now when I move my leg I feel like it's going to come back. I'm like, I'm afraid of it.
Oh, you have,
I have like a chronic,
okay, so I'm not joking.
I have chronic
you need to do
cramp
yoga.
Syndrome, CCS.
There's something you can do for that. I don't know what it is. I got to Google it. I remember seeing it
bananas.
Just recently. Yeah. Bananas, but there's something else.
No,
hydrate,
there's like a,
water.
There's a
do you
Bikram,
have like a, like a fascia, like a thing to, you got to get one of the things you can rub on your legs to break up the fascia. That's what you need.
You need the fascia blaster.
You need a fascia blaster.
That sounds like that's what got the
what
cop in trouble in the Hampton court is the things that you get to rub on your legs. All right. Well, yes.
You need the tonic water with the quinine. That's what my grandmother used to drink for the leg cramps.
Can I just say one thing before we go to a break? Tonic water is gross.
I love tonic
some people
water.
Drink it.
No.
You know,
oh,
some
I
people
love
order it.
Yeah.
Some people order it in the by itself.
Yeah. It's so high in sugar, but I love it.
You love it?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think I've ever had tonic water.
It's so disgusting.
Not even with gin?
Yeah. It's disgusting.
Oh, God, it'll make you puke.
Oh. All right. Well, Sue, it's great to see you.
That's all right. Whoops. It's not your fault.
Okay, sorry.
Sue, great to see you.
Great to see you guys. March 2nd, Florian Hall. Come out and see me. We're going to have a blast.
How does one get tickets?
SueCostello.com. Go to the dates and then March 2nd, and then there's the link to Brown Paper Tickets, and you can purchase them, and it's selling out. It's already, Boston usually buys, when I come here, usually they buy the day before the gig. They don't like the internet and the credit cards and everything. It's just a thing that with Boston, it's already sold out half the room.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's so good. Thank you. And I appreciate you letting me come because your listeners are always great to me. So.
They're the best. Our listeners are the best.
They are the best.
Sue Costello.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.